Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. It sounds like that's canned. It is, but it's very heartfelt, and it's meant to remind you that, hey, we're here for one purpose and one purpose only, to bring hope into your life this day as a result of some of the topics that we talk about. And we do. We're just normal guys, regular guys that have been, humbled,
yeah.
Because of
broken, built up
what has taken place in our lives. And in the studio with me today is
CJ.
We're glad you guys are here. We have a topic today that many of you guys have heard about, you talk about, and maybe you're listening because you want to hear a little bit more about it. It's on repentance, and we're going to be stirring that up a little bit because it's always something that we need to, because Jesus talked about it. Others talked about it in the Bible. What does it mean, and what does it require on our part? And do you only have to do it one time? Is that it? Mm. And so we'll kind of beat that thing around and so on and so forth. In the meantime, we always like to kind of give you guys a little encouragement at the very start of this program. And how ready are you for this show? You even got one?
I do have one.
Do you really? Man,
I
tell you what.
By the grace of God.
I'm just going to sit back and listen to you.
Listen, okay. Yeah. Well, Lord, please help me.
he already has.
Yes, amen. Yes. So what I've been convicted about lately, so because I get encouraged by conviction in my own life. So, so I was thinking about this the other day that, first I got a bunch of woods at my house and around my house, and I was thinking that
woods. You live in a wooded area.
Well, sort of. It's a development, but there's woods all surrounding it. So I was thinking that if one of the kids of my neighbors or even my own kid got lost in the woods and someone asked us to come help and look, he went around or she went around the neighborhood asking for people to come help and look within a couple hours, if I would set aside, if I had something important to set aside to go help them and look. Mm-hmm. And the reason I was convicted on that is because I have no problem praying and even fasting sometimes for my own problems in my life, but I can't say, especially the fasting part, been doing that about those that are lost from God. So the conviction, what it was for me, is that I've been really, really selfish in my own desires, and I haven't been looking for the lost souls out there, God's children. So, and it'd be the same way if for that lost kid, what would that person think of the neighbor if he didn't come out and look for their kid that was lost? So that's what it was convicted me. So
that makes sense. Encouragement would be?
The encouragement would be is to not be selfish and seek God's children, like those that are lost. Like if your own child was lost in the woods and you wanted every one of your neighbors to come help and look for him.
And a lot of times you don't have to look very far because they're put in front of you each and every day. So you don't have to go out
your family
and say,
members.
I'm here hunting for lost souls. No, it's not about that. You have them right there in your relationships already.
Yeah.
And but truly, what it comes down to is that you've got to be willing to give away something that you have. And if you don't have it.
I'll turn that down.
You know, nothing like having somebody call you in the middle of the show. And
I have to have my ringer way up for me to wake up in the morning. So But so anyways,
that was your wake-up call?
No, no, that was a phone call, but I had the volume up. But anyways, the encouragement is to try to seek out those that are lost more than seeking out your own problems in life or wanting them to get fixed so you have a comfortable life. So that's what I've been convicted on, because I have no problem just being fervent in prayer for my own problems, but I'm not like that with others sometimes.
So really what it's coming down to is to do the second greatest commandment.
Yeah, love others as yourself. Amen.
There you go.
Amen.
All right. Well, good encouragement. Let's move right on into something that's, that have sometimes baffled and has... Sometimes we take it for granted, just the word itself, thinking it's just all part of it. Sometimes you hear it during Scripture. Sometimes it's left out in, even though Scripture says it, it's left out. It's not mentioned sometimes. I think
it's one of the most least preached things today. There's repentance. It's all about God's love and helping you, but... a lot of people think that you mentioned earlier, if it's a one-time thing, that they repent once and then all of a sudden that's it. Now I can just focus on having an easy life because God's on my side and I can just focus on having the American dream.
So really, you're such a worldly man of knowing that so often all over the place people aren't speaking about repentance, right? But you're going by... what you've heard other people say that you, or is it just where you're at, your church, your
ministries? Would just say it's my, who I come in contact, who I hear all over my life. It's not, I'm sure there's people out there, church out there that do talk about it, but for the most part, it's people don't view it as important. A lot of people think it's like the flu shot. You just repent once and that's it. You're just good to go. But I think repentance is a daily thing that is unto salvation. You don't just repent once and are saved. You have to do it for every little sin that you ever do. You have to repent if you truly want to be sorry for your sin. So that's what I was saying. I don't think that's necessarily preached today or talked about too much.
Mm.
So agree or disagree, but that's what I get from a lot of men I even come in contact with. Repentance is... not the first thing on their mind usually, that's the way I was too.
So is that something that needs to be on the front of your mind?
Yeah, I think it has to be on the front of your mind all day long, because for one, we're going to sin every day of our lives. Every day we're going to sin, so every day we need to ask for repentance. Not only as we're doing it, if we're convicted, but when someone else has mentioned it to us or God reveals it to us, we need to repent right away and not wait. I constantly am with my oldest son trying to drive into him how he needs to ask God for his forgiveness every single day for what he's done, and ask God to reveal to him his sin, because a lot of us are blind to our own sin. I mean, honestly, we are. How can you repent from something you're blind of? Well, you can't, but that's why you ask God to reveal it to you so that you can repent and not do it anymore.
So why don't we get a definition of what repentance is, so that we get a better understanding of what it is rather than just saying, hey, you know, because a lot of guys would think, okay.
Well, here's this. If you were to punch me in the face...
This is get out of here a little further away from so I don't hit the equipment.
You want to actually do it? Okay.
Oh, isn't that what you meant?
Okay. So let's hear you hit me in the face, and you were sorry and you were apologetic, and I could actually maybe see it. Okay, but if you did it again 10 minutes later, okay, that would show me that you probably weren't sorry that you did it because you did it again. Now, if it was like 5 years and you did it, you know, that's a little bit different. But repentance is not only being sorry for what you've done, but not doing it anymore. That's the key part, because if you still do it, that shows not only others, but it shows God that your heart wasn't in it and that you weren't really sorry for what you did or what you've done, I should say.
So actually, in a sense, where we believe that sometimes, and I've fallen in this category at times in my walk and in my teachings at times of repentance, of turning away from sin. Okay,
mm-hmm.
that's what we think it to be, And really what repentance is to change one's mind.
Amen.
It's to change one's mind.
About their sin, right?
Well, yes. Yeah. But whatever it is that you're repenting again. You know,
okay, so Job 42, it talks about, and I love Job, because, at the end, when God created, brace yourself, or what was it in New King James? It was, brace yourself like a man. I can't remember. I guess I could turn to it real quick.
Man up.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty much be ready. I'm going to speak to you and you're going to have to man up, brace yourself like a man.
Yes.
And then it goes on. And after God, you know, kind of rebukes him, Job says, I abhor myself, for his sin. And I think that's what that change of mind you're talking about is we have to hate what we have done in order for us to truly be sorry for what we've did. If we don't hate it, more than likely we're going to continue to do it. And Job's sin, a lot of us don't think it was even that big. He was just saying, hey, if I could just talk to God, I'm pretty sure I could convince him that what I'm going through, I don't really deserve. And he would change his mind and help me out. But that isn't really that big to us. We think it's like murder. That's something. But over that, Job said, I hate myself for what I've done. That doesn't mean that you hate yourself as a person, but it means that he knows that he's vile, he's sinful, and he hates that part about him. And that is his repentance unto God, as he realizes how evil our sin is to God, even the little smallest thing that we do. And that's why I think even a little small glance at a woman, you may not even do a double look, but if you know your mind's going to go somewhere, I think you need to repent right then and there and say, oh, that's just how I am. That's just not that big of a deal. But it is a big deal. Right. Every little thing is offensive to God. So we must hate that if we truly want to repent from it.
You know, so often we have a tendency of when we hear about where Jesus talks about to forgive those, right? A lot of times we just think that we need to forgive, which is what we ought to do.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus reminds us that to forgive those who ask for forgiveness and repent.
Yeah.
There's that's a part that sometimes we end up forgetting about mentioning so often.
You mean with others that do unto us about? Well, I think that's just if someone isn't sorry for what they've done, I don't think you can, is this what you're getting at, that you can trust them, I can't think of the word I'm looking for.
There it is.
Yes.
I almost got it.
Yes. You can't trust them to do anything. You don't open yourself up to them, in a sense, if they aren't sorry for what they've done, because they're going to do it again and again. It's throwing your pearls in front of swine.
So does that mean, in a sense, that if they end up doing it again, that they weren't really repentant?
Well, I think that's why I explained to you, analogy I used earlier. If you did it 10 minutes later, then obviously. But if it was like 4 or 5 years, I think there's a little bit of a difference.
What if it was like 3 months later?
I don't know. You got to pray about that.
I need to pray whether or not you're being repentant after slapping me or hit me.
Okay, if you just hit me and it happened 3 months from now, my first initial thought was that you weren't sorry for what you did. Okay, but if your actions show otherwise afterwards, now let's say the next time it took place, it was even longer. So you got to look at the entire life.
Okay, so let's go with something other than hitting somebody. Okay,
stealing money off of a counter. So my boy did that. When he was like 5, he took money off my kid. He was pulling something out of his pocket, and a $5 bill flipped out. I was like, huh, where'd you get that? And his countenance just dropped down below the floor. I spanked him pretty good for that, because I could tell he was sorry, but he said sorry, but I knew that it didn't register. If he hasn't done it again since then, but if he did it again, that would let me know that he wasn't sorry at all. So, I mean, that's kind of a bigger thing than...
For the stealing type
yes.
of thing.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Now, let's talk about a guy who actually... Let's talk about a different sin, because you're talking about ones that are very blaring.
Blunt,
and
they're, yeah.
they're right up
right there.
Front.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the guy who ends up lying.
Hmm.
He lies.
Okay? He lies.
We've all lied.
Yep.
Okay. We've all been there.
Yeah.
There are those who lie more. I used to be one of those that lied all the time.
Yeah, me too.
I lied so often that after years and years of the same lie, I actually believed that it really took place in my life. So when somebody looked at me, I would be very convincing. Yes, this did happen.
I actually know someone that's like that in my own life. See, that never happened. I was just a really good liar. But after a while, what happened was, I did stop doing the big lies, but it'd be like little things like, hey,
big
you,
lies.
Yeah, but it'd be like, hey, someone asked me to go do something, and I would say no, but I'd come up with an excuse that didn't really exist. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the lies that continued, and that was what I had to work on. That was God hates that as well. Well, it's not like I was hurting anyone when I said I just made up a story why I didn't want to go do something, but it's the fact that you're not being honest. Mm-hmm. So now that if you continue to do day in, day out, you're not sorry for what you've done. Now, some things take time to turn around, and they take time to not do. And I think that if you do hate what you're doing, as Job said, that God's going to give you grace to not do it anymore.
So you're speaking in a sense of almost having to judge this person on their act of forgiveness or asking for forgiveness.
Yeah, well, if you have two trees, one nice and green, the other one's nice and moldy, we judge them by their fruits, right? I mean, so it's the same thing. Now, you're going to have trees in between there, and they could go either way. If you see them start to head off towards more being healthy and green and lush, you're going to start to be able to trust them and understand where their heart is coming from. For, what is it, out of the heart or... How's it go?
The overflow of the heart.
Yeah. So
I love to speak the overflow
yep.
of the heart.
So your actions, how your heart is going to be the fruit that you produce. So, and you may not have, every tree isn't going to have perfect fruit. You're going to have a couple bad apples in the tree with everyone. So, because we're sinful, that's the way it is. But what's the majority of their tree? Is it, now it could be 51% versus 49%, you know, and that person could go either way.
Okay. So, but. My point where I wanted to go with this, that was a good analogy. It may be. So I think somebody understood what you were talking about there. But where I want to go here is that there are people who, like yourself, you make it sound like in everything, if there is not repentance, okay, that I have to, that really determines on whether or not I forgive them or not. Right.
So if someone
you're talking about, you used the analogy before about getting hit in the head, in the face, right?
Yep,
and then you give an analogy about, and I said, well, let's talk about something else. And then you went to this on the fruit.
It's our responsibility to forgive everyone for no matter, even if they're repentful or not, we have to forgive them.
Right.
That's what we're
right.
supposed to do.
Right.
Now, I think there's a difference, and maybe this is where you want to go with this, is allowing yourself to open up to them, trust them. I think we have to be wise and judge by their fruits of if they have truly made the change and are truly sorry for what they've done.
Right.
So I don't think that we have justification to not forgive someone if they haven't asked for forgiveness or if they're not sorry for doing it. But I also don't think that we need to be dumb and naive and expect that just because they've asked for forgiveness, if the rest of their life doesn't look like it, then we don't need to be trusting them with certain things in life.
So what does that look like? So in other words, you're not to trust them? They're Christian. They are attempting to be followers of Jesus Christ.
Okay, well, for example, we'll go back to the money thing. If someone from the ministry, Band of Brothers, people are in charge of money, right? There's certain people that are in charge of the money, right? Okay, so if they had stole something from that money and you found out, like, I don't know, months later or something, and they confessed to you, now you may not let them do it anymore, and over a period of time you may see that they've changed and then allow them to do it again. But if you don't see anything in their life, any fruit being produced, I would say you're going to be hesitant to allow them to be in charge of the money again.
Would you allow them to do anything else?
I would. I would say I would set the bar a little bit lower. And it, once they were, you could see that they are righteous in the lower works, then you give them more responsibility. So like preparing food or setting up tables or something that wasn't as much as a responsibility as the money. And then once they were responsible in that, then slowly increase. And then if they were to do it again, then I would say, you know, I would say that's probably a big enough thing that they wouldn't be able to do that, be handling money anymore.
I know you're very, this is a topic that's very on your heart. So I'm going to throw one out here.
Yep.
I want to hear what you have to say about it.
Okay.
Your wife ends up using the credit card and spends more money than what you guys have come to an agreement with. And she says, I'm sorry. What do you do?
In that case, I wouldn't say you can't have the credit card anymore. I would allow her, with my wife, I can see
now,
the fruit.
Now be careful here. She's probably listening.
with my wife, I can see the fruit that goes on in her life. So I would believe that she was sorry for what she did. Anyone can stumble and make stupid mistakes. Now, if it was repetitive, like we were in Costco yesterday, and she loves lobster, and there was these lobsters for sale. It was a little box of lobster for $100, and she's like, "Oh, that looks good." I was like, "I tell you, if you bought that and that's all we had to eat for a couple weeks because you wanted this lobster, I was like, you wouldn't have any money again for a long, long time." And she knew I was playing, and we were playing about it. But that happens, though. Unfortunately, that happens a lot. And something like that, I would kind of take back her responsibility over the money, over the bills, because my wife is in charge of the financial aspect of everything. So, but if she were to make that irresponsible decision,
And then what if she ended up another time 2 weeks later after she had done that? You said you can't do that.
I would take over the responsibility for the finances then.
So would you wait to hear her say that she's repentant, turning away, or from saying, I changed my mind, you're right, it's not gonna
happen? Let's say it did happen again 2 weeks later. Even if she was sorry, she may be sorry because now she doesn't get to spend the money anymore or have the responsibility with it, but it would take time for her to show me that she was sorry for what she did.
All right. So I'm going to let you get a hold of everything here. We're going to take a break. Because I know you're sitting there going, oh, my goodness.
And Felicia's
listening
to
this. She's going, okay. You know,
I'm good.
Wait, when he gets home.
She's very good with money. So
we're going to take a break. We're talking about repentance and what that looks like in reality, in real life today.
Situations.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
You only need a spark to start a whole blaze. It only takes a little faith. Let it start. Yeah.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and CJ and Raul in the studio, in the house, and we're talking about repentance. And, we can talk about repentance in a sense of what most of us know and deal with on a daily basis mm-hmm. when it comes to sin, doing wrongful things, okay? But I want to read something that I just pulled up here. I don't believe I just lost it.
Oh, I got something.
Hang on a second here. Let me just go back to it here. There we go. there's something about the today's technology.
That's why I don't rely on it.
My big thumbs and fingers just have a tendency of hitting too much. Repentance and faith can be understood as two sides of the same coin. It is impossible to place your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior without first changing your mind about who He is and what He has done. Whether it is repentance from willful rejection or repentance from ignorance or disinterest, it is a change of mind. Biblical repentance in relation to salvation is changing your mind from rejection of Christ to faith in Christ. Very rarely do you ever hear this when it talks about that, about not accepting Jesus completely, mm-hmm. okay, in faith. Right,
mm-hmm.
and in a sense, it's almost of turning away, saying I just don't believe. Okay, and that's where I believe that sometimes Jesus, when He talks about repentance, this is what He's talking about. You know, He says, "Come to Me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden." Mm-hmm. You know, the hope is in Christ. Okay,
amen.
And I don't know if this is anything that you had planned on talking about, maybe mm-hmm. not, and that's okay. We can
go either way.
But
so talking about not believing is sinful, or our lack of belief is sinful?
Well, in a sense, it's not so much that what it is
because I do believe that our unbelief is sin.
Yes.
Unbelief
yes.
is sin. Yes. It is. Yes. That's clear in the Bible, too. And I think we need to repent daily of not believing in God the way we should believe in Him. I mean, that's a daily thing, because it is. I mean, as Job said, he hated himself. The same thing with us. We need to really hate, dislike how much we don't trust and believe in God to take care of us every single day. So because to him, that's spitting in his face, saying, I'm the God of, I've done everything, but what makes you think I can't take care of you in your life and what's going on?
Yeah. And this is truly another area of repentance that probably needs to be talked about a little bit more in a sense. But I don't want to disregard what you had brought to the table here.
I think it will go in. I think it goes, maybe paralleled with this is in unrepentance in your life is really linked with how much faith you have in God.
Yeah, and here's part of where I think that it comes in. You know, where you talk about faith without works is dead,
mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, it's not about works. That doesn't get you salvation and stuff. And that's where I think it helps clarify it here through Scripture. And it says, while repentance is not a work that earns salvation, repentance unto salvation does result in works. So in other words, when we are repentant and we seek God, mm-hmm. we end up doing the works because we know that that is His will.
Yeah, well, it's like the tree I was explaining earlier, that if you can't have good fruit unless your heart is good,
mm-hmm.
and you can't have a good heart unless you repent. That's where John the Baptist, came preaching anything except for repentance, because in order for us to even believe in God, we have to know our sins and repent for them. For if we don't understand our sins in our life, if we don't understand that looking at porn is vile to God, if we don't understand that that lying is vile, that God hates liars, we're not going to understand that we need Jesus. So unless we understand our sin and then we can repent from our sin, we're not going to understand why we need Jesus. Well, if you repent from your sin, you've acknowledged your sin, obviously, and then all of a sudden you know that you need someone to save you from your sin for what you've done. So I think repenting, the areas in your life where you don't repent from, like little lies, like I said, I used to do earlier, just like make up an excuse for not wanting to do something.
Yes.
I think that blocks your belief and faith in God to some point.
And you hit it on the head, because when you were talking about John the Baptist and everything here, and this is in Matthew, okay,
mm-hmm.
where it says there, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance."
Amen.
Okay? And do not think you can say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. Anyway, so he goes on and on talking to them. But he said this. He said, produce fruit in keeping with repentance.
Yeah, well, the producing fruit is the same thing. You can't continue. I got John 12 here. It says, "I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide or remain in darkness."
Right.
God knows that if you're remaining in that sin, if you're remaining in that pornography, you're remaining in the drugs, that you're obviously not in the light, because light and dark can't abide together.
Yeah.
It's going to be one or
the
other.
Mix, yeah.
Like, you can't mix.
Yeah, you're in a dark room, you bring in a light, all of a sudden there's no
darkness. Yeah. And so if you are truly repentful, you're not going to remain in that sin. And that's pretty blunt. And if you do remain in that sin, that's what I was talking about earlier, it blocks your belief and faith with him, because obviously it says right here that you can't be in Jesus if you remain in that sin.
Right. So it's not so much just turning away from the sin. It's actually having a mindset of, say, that does not fit in my life any longer.
Yeah.
You know, I am, I'm a round hole, and that's a square peg, and it's not going to fit in my life any longer.
Well, you may know certain people out there. I know certain people that they may have stopped doing drugs. They may have stopped drinking. They're not an alcoholic or drug addict anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But if they, and this is where the parable that if you sweep the house clean, but you don't get Jesus in it, everything's going to come back. You're going to get seven more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem. If you get rid of everything vile in your life and you don't get God in it to fill that hole, everything's going to come back, but it's going to come back worse.
Yes. Yes.
And so that's the problem, is that a lot of us think, I'm just going to get rid of everything. Well, that's fine. But if you don't live for Jesus at that point, then you're just going to fall 10 times or much worse.
And that's what we're talking to men who actually know, have a relationship with Jesus. That's who we're talking to now, because you do. You may not be perfect, and we know you're not perfect, because no one here on this earth is perfect.
No.
Okay. And we're going to stumble and fall. Yes, you have opportunity to be able to ask for forgiveness and to be able to ask or be given the opportunity to repent, okay, and to be able to show what it is that is taking place in your life. It doesn't happen overnight.
No.
It takes time.
Yeah.
But the fact is that in our mindset, knowing that we are a new creation, that he changes, our thought life,
our heart,
our
new heart,
everything just all of a sudden is being changed. We need to allow that to take place. And that's where sometimes we stumble. We sit there and go,
we resist.
I don't know.
Resist. It's uncomfortable.
Okay, I'm okay with this part of my life, but not this part.
Yeah, don't
I'd
take
like
that.
I want to wait on that. Let's take a break and let's talk about this when we get back.
Amen.
Of how much are we willing to be able to allow God to be able to chip away when we've said, I need this area of my life. I understand. And then he says, okay, well, we're there. We might as well take this. We go, whoa, wait a minute.
I just said the other, not this.
Let's talk about that. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Need more in-depth biblical counsel on a specific subject? Check out our latest of recommended books on the Band of Brothers page at faithplace.org.
You know what I love to smell? I love to smell a ham baking in the oven, or bacon sizzling in that skillet. Ooh, or maybe some German sausage roasting on the grill. You know what I don't love? I don't love to read the weird ingredients listed on the back of most of those packages of meat. Who needs that junk? That stuff is about as useful as a back pocket on your t-shirt. When it comes to your family's health, it's time for you to fish or cut bait. You need to start buying your hams, bacon, and sausage from a quality supplier like Hempler's Meats. Hempler's uses the finest of ingredients, like old-fashioned natural casings and all-natural spices. Plus, Hempler's products contain no fillers. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Don't have time or energy to keep up with your yard work?
That's for sure. And that's why we choose Kane's Lawn and Garden, and we have for years. If you live in Whatcom County, Kane's Lawn and Garden can help you with the mowing, the edging, the shrub care and pruning, property weed control, general property cleanup, whatever you need. Give them a call to get a quote, 360-312-9524, or visit their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. caneslawnandgarden.com.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. CJ and Raul talking about
repentance or unrepentance.
Yeah, I like how you jumped right in there.
Yep.
I just want to. I love reading this part because John the Baptist. He was instrumental in my life.
Amen.
Because of his name. I was given his name John as my middle name, and it was from him. I always thought it was from John,
the apostle.
The apostle. I'm not that high. You know,
so, John. Well, but, Jesus said he was the greatest of.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
in Matthew 3:11, he says, John says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." I love that because he says, "I will baptize you with the water for repentance," not the water of repentance, the water for repentance, so that our minds would be changed and that we would look toward our Lord, okay, as not only our Savior, but the manager of our lives, the one that we would go to, the one that would be there, that is there when we acknowledge him, okay? And that is, that's what John did. That was his whole purpose, was to be able to let people know about him, and he is coming. And when he did, he said, "Here he is." And he knew his time was going to be short right after that because his job was done.
It was. That's all he came to do.
That's what
that's he
came
it.
To do.
And I think a lot of us, I know I did for many years. You just read, you're like, "Oh yeah, he just came to do this," and then a lot of us think that, "Oh, I'm baptized like John did, so I've repented. Now I'm good to go for the rest of my life." But once you've taken that step of repenting and baptism, not that baptism is a means to salvation, but it's just an open statement of where your faith is at. But after you've repented, and this is where I think going into the unrepentance, that your unrepentance in your life stops your faith with God. And then once your faith is starting, it's like a wall going up. Faith and belief is like a stream between you and God, and a wall slowly going up with all the unrepentance in your life. And then once that wall starts going up, what we were talking about before we went to the break, when God wants to take something in your life of the world or something carnal in your life that you love, for me, it was my flesh, my physique, and everything else. Once that wall starts going up of unbelief, and then God wants to go ahead and take that away from you, you're not going to trust in him or even want to do it, for one, because your faith is being blocked, and you're not going to be able to fully give yourself to God because you're not quite trusting in him 100%.
Yes.
So yes. I think that truly being open with God, and that's the thing, is I want my son to be open with me when he does something stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell him, "Dorian, you're not going to get in trouble." Now, sometimes you're going to get your butt whooped, okay? But that's just how it is. But you need to be open with me about what you've done. It's not, I tell him all the time, it's not necessarily what you've done. It's how you handle it afterwards that defines you, that defines your character as a man. If you, because as you said, we all are going to sin. We do stupid stuff every single day. God, you are going to be honored if you take yourself to God and say, "I am sorry, please take me." And then once he takes you, then he's going to start taking things away from you that you still love of the world. And then if you have that unrepentance and that wall's up, you're not going to be able to let him take it from you, because you're going to be holding back because you don't quite trust in him and believe in him. Yeah. So I think we need to...
Well, you know, part of the encouragement for us as men is that simply when we seek the Lord, okay, when we say, forgive me for the sin that I've been committing, I want to seek you and more of you. I want to abide in you. I want you to remain in me. I want to remain in you because my life, the way that it is not working. When we seek him, he bestows grace upon us. We cannot forget about the grace. That is what helps protect and keeps us on the path. Okay?
Amen.
But in seeking him, he gives us that.
Yeah, he gives us more grace and more grace and more strength and more rope to continue. Because when we don't feel like we can give it up, he will allow us. Even we can't, and we can't give it up in the flesh. Only if he intervenes can we allow him, or then are we able to give it up.
Yes.
So we gotta seek him and ask him. I plead with him to get rid of. I have a big thing with judging others too much. Not that you shouldn't judge someone by the fruits, but then I'm like, oh well, they're not doing this. They must not be, you know. And I can't do anything about that on my own. I have to plead with him to give me his heart so that I can change.
Right. And because truly what it comes down to is that no matter what, the changes that take place in us isn't because of what we do.
Amen.
It's what he does, that we allow him to, because we can impede. We can actually put the roadblocks up. We've done that in our lives before.
That's what self-will is, God gave us.
Exactly. Yeah. And so when we open the door and say, you know, Lord, you come in, please, you take this, because I can't. I'm powerless over this. And when we do that, when we submit ourselves to him, that's why no different than anything else. That's why repentance so often needs to be done just as often as we seek to turn and submit ourselves to God each and every day. We don't just do it one time.
Amen.
We need to do it on a daily basis. So the repentance comes with that also, that to be mindful of the repentance, of being able to be, my mind would change more toward you. We sing about it. It's in the Psalms, create in me a new heart, a clean heart.
Clean heart.
Okay. And so as a result of that, we end up doing the things that are necessary, that God knows are necessary for us to do to be able to even receive more of him. Okay, then what ends up taking place is our minds change, and then all of a sudden, you know, that heart change, right, takes place. And then as a result of that, our actions change.
Instead
of looking and judging, are we to judge? Well, in a certain sense, we are. You need to make discernment.
Yeah.
You need to be able to discern. But can we do it in love?
That's the key,
be able to sit there and say that in my own eye, I've taken the log out of my eye.
Mm-hmm.
But people see that because of the way that we come to them. You know, if they're doing something wrong, it's not about judging them. It's about being able to love them toward, you know, with kindness.
Well, it's correcting them in a gentle way. You don't want to beat them down. You want to correct them in a gentle way, not that – and you do want to – I don't not correct my kids when they do something stupid. I correct them because I do love them, and same thing with us. We need to correct others.
There's a scripture that talks about that, right?
I'm trying to think of it as I'm talking. I can't think of it right now.
And one of the guys is going to send it in because they're saying, oh, here's a couple of knuckleheads who just don't know the scripture completely. You're right. We're normal guys.
Amen.
And if one of us were quick enough to be able to do this and we knew we had enough time, I'd go look for that sort of thing. But I'm not in that. But that's the beauty of the Word of God.
It is.
And that there is everything in here is points toward Jesus.
Amen.
And if we learn more about him through the Gospels, why not get into the Gospels and see what Jesus actually did on this earth with people and how he treated them?
Amen.
That, I mean, this is exactly how we are to be. We're to be more Christ-like. That's where the word Christian comes from. And that word came not from other Christians saying, hey, well, let's call ourselves Christians.
It came from others noticing how their lives were.
Yes, and who were not believers.
Yeah.
So you must be just like Christ. You are a Christian.
You kind of resemble him and what he did. Yeah.
And that is an honor. How often today that most people would say, wow, I didn't know that you were a Christian, when you end up talking about, you know, something that's taking place. That's almost talk about getting, you know, that's a shot in the gut.
It is.
And not expecting it. All of a sudden, it's like, you just get the air knocked out of you.
It
you is. Go, oh, man. So we need to be more Christ-like. We need to be able to be more loving and more kind and willing to accept people for where they're at and to see them the way that Christ sees them.
Oh, and we can't do that unless you were saying earlier something about open the door. You got to open the door of your own heart to God and be repentful. And then once you do that, others can see, and then you can help open other people's doors up for them to be able to repent and see their own sin in their life.
And when we do that sort of thing, it has a tendency of kind of like throwing that stone in a pond that's all still. All of a sudden you see the ripple effect.
When you
end up giving it to somebody else, they end up giving it to someone else, and before you know it, that one item, that one kind thing that you did now has
exploded.
A lot of fruit going.
Amen.
Well, good topic. Nice job. How about you pray for our brothers who are listening?
All right. Father, I ask that you would help us and give us grace to repent, and that you would allow us to understand the sin in our own life, and that you would give us the grace as well to stop the sin, sometimes the hidden sin in our life that stops us from believing and trusting in you with everything that we have. So, Father, bless us today and allow us to turn our hearts over to you and to trust in you and to repent from our sin. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Brother, there is hope, and you are definitely not alone.